We have been going through the book of Revelation, and God has been revealing himself to us, the church. It was written for the church, and it was written for such as times as these. We have been, you know, went through the, when John originally in chapter 1, he was taken up into the Spirit, and, you know, he was there in heaven, and he beheld, what, Jesus Christ, and he was pictured as, what, the judge, okay? Then we skipped over to chapters 2 and 3. We went through the church age. And so then we finished with these seven churches, and, you know, we now live, and I believe, in the church age of the Philadelphia / Laodicean age. We live in a time of apostasy, but we still have a strong church. We have strong churches that believe in the Lord, that we have a strong missionary church. Our mission is to get the gospel out. And we do have churches that still preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we thank God for the expository word of God. Now, and then we looked, John was also now taken before Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And then, you know, what he saw, first of all, in chapter 4 was the Father. Chapter 5, we see that, chapter 4, we've seen Jesus Christ, and then chapter 5, we've seen the Father and Jesus Christ, because the Father gave Jesus, who's on the right hand, the scroll. Remember, the scroll was a picture of the deed to earth, where we are today, where we live our lives. And so, we are the church today. And at this time, the church, after Revelation chapter 3, the church is no longer mentioned. So where is the church? The church is, has been raptured up, and the church is there present in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And now the next part, you know, we looked at the Lamb last week. And thank God for the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. So we're pictured here in Revelation chapter 6. And now the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is going to go ahead and he's going to break forth these seals. And I'm reminded of a seal. I'm reminded of our Christ tomb. And, of course, we're getting closer and closer to Palm Sunday, and then, as some churches call it, Holy Week, where you have between Palm Sunday and you have Easter, right? And, you know, at that time, they had put a seal on Christ's tomb. Remember that story goes, if anybody broke that seal, well, that was, your head was going to come off. You know, that was like you did not want to mess with the seal. Well, thank God there was a seal in Revelation chapter 6 that, you know, Christ is the only one. And remember, John wept. He was very upset over that. And it says here in Revelation chapter 5, it says here, verse 9, and they sang a new song, and that's the church and the angelic beings. And it says, and you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Thank God for that. Amen. You know, why the judgments is because it would be a shame if life went on, if we just lived in sin for the rest of our lives. Thank God that back and after Genesis and the flood, God says, my spirit won't always dwell with you. I'll give you 120 years, and that's pretty much it. I cannot, I would not want to live on this earth for hundreds of years. I would need God's grace and mercy for that, you know. But God, through his generation, has brought us up, has saved us to the next generation so we can share the gospel. And that's so very, very important. So going here in Revelation chapter 6, so we're going to be looking at the first seal. Now, I want to remind you here in Matthew chapter 24, there is a coalition. There is also, or 24 ties in with Revelation chapter 6. And I don't want you to forget about that. And Matthew chapter 24, it says this in verse 1, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon the other that should not be thrown back.'" And then verse 3 says in Matthew 24, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age?'" So you have to understand this first, that the Jews looked for a sign. And I'm dovetailing this into this passage of Revelation chapter 6. The Jews looked for a sign, and the Greeks looked for wisdom, like it says in Romans. So what's going on with the end of the age? Now, you have to understand something. The church has been raptured. This is not talking about the church. You know, people who do studies on this get this confused between the tribulation and the rapture. We're not going to be here, folks. Thank God for that. This is judgment time. God is going to send his judgment. We're living in an age of grace. Thank God for that. Take your opportunities. Remember, your mind can be a game for Satan. Don't let him mess with you or play with you. Get a hold of, have the mind of Christ. Say, how do I do that? Break open your Bible and read what Christ had to say. Flood your mind with the Word of God. Remember, it says in Isaiah that Satan can come in like a flood, but God sets a standard against that flood. So they're asking, the disciples are asking, when are these things are going to happen? And he's referring here to, well, first of all, we know with the temple, so let me get that out of the way. We see that there was Nebuchadnezzar at this time, Solomon's temple. It was destroyed, okay, by the Babylonians. And then around 580 B.C. And then you had Herod's temple, and that was built. And that was destroyed by Titus, Roman soldier, general, came in and besieged it for months, starved out the Jews, and destroyed the temple, okay? And that was around 70 AD. And then we had the third temple, which is going to be built, I believe, like the Jewish rabbis saying, they need to see the Christ. They need to see God before. And this is written as they have it in Jerusalem. They want to see the Messiah come before they build it. Okay? That's why I believe the Antichrist is going to come as the false Messiah that sets right up in close with Revelation chapter 6, he comes in as a white horse, a counterfeit. I believe that the temple is going to be built right after the rapture, okay? Because they're look, Christ is not going to come back in the rapture and then go to Israel and say, okay, build the temple. No, there's going to be a false Christ. Remember, Satan is deceiver. There is no truth in him. Jesus says he's the father of liars. Don't believe anything that he says. He'll make it 99.9%. Seems like it's true. It's just like your cults and your isms out there and your false religions. Okay, so we're at this time, and Jesus is referring now to the tribulation period. So let's get into this, the coming of the age. And verses 4 and 5 match up with the first seal. It says, "And Jesus answered, said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many.'" So there are a lot of false teachers. You have to be careful about what you buy out there today. You have to be careful and protect your family. Guard your family. And, you know, thank God we have some strong Christians here. You know, continue to guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Let me move on here. So we see here in Revelation chapter 6. Now, when I saw the Lamb, so he sees Jesus Christ open one of the seals, first seal that gets open. And I heard one of the living creatures. Remember, there are four living creatures, four seraphims. And each one takes a turn opening these first four seals. Okay? And then we see, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder. It has a description here, a symbol of judgment, thunder. By the way, we are going to have some thunderstorms this afternoon. See, it's kind of weird. But then we're going to have snow after that. Okay, there are some pictures in heaven of hail and thunder and lightning. And so that's the power of God. Think that you're weak today? That's fine. That's good, because that's where sometimes God wants us. God can make us strong, not in us, but in Him. Okay, so it says here, it says, all right, come and see. So now we're going to come and see and look at this. Verse 2, and I looked, and behold, a white horse. Now, horses are used in Scripture and associate with triumph, majesty, power, and conquest. A white horse comes in peace. So we're looking at this Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, Matthew 24, 5 and 6. He'll be coming, it's looking okay, saying the right things, doing the right things. And, you know, sometimes with people, we have to be careful. We got to get to know them before we can believe them. Heard that saying goes, you got to earn your trust with people, right? And you got to keep your guard up. So he will come, and he will come out of the sea of humanity. You know, we don't know where he's going to come. I don't have the time to tell you where the Antichrist is going to come, because Scripture doesn't tell you, okay? And of course, we'll look in that later on in Revelation, some possibilities. But one thing at a time, right? So he will come in as a white horse. Remember, Jesus Christ came during the peace, the week of Passover, came riding as a donkey. That was a sign of humility. A conquering general would come in on a white horse, you know, he's conquered. Well, this person will come in and say all the right things. People will be oohed and aah about him. People want peace. You hear that saying goes, peace and safety, wellness, you know, we want everything to be okay. But there's a deceptive way about him. He's got other means. He's a deceiver. So moving on here. So it says here, he comes on as a white horse. And it says here, and he who has sat on it had a bow. That's interesting. Now, a bow was, but he doesn't have an arrow with it. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Well, it has the idea of he's willing to show his power. He's not going to use it. Okay, because, you know, you can kill with a bow and arrow, but he has a bow there to use it for death. And he's bent on conquest. Remember, there's a motive behind this. He's going to come across very powerful, and he's going to have a lot of answers to everything. That's why I tell the younger people, listen to your mom and dad. Listen to what they have to say. They have wisdom. And there's a lot of worldly wisdom out there. So we see as he was sat on it, had a bow, and the crown was given to him. Now, there's two types of crowns. And listen to this. There's a victor's crown. He'll come across as a victor, somebody who has victory. Okay, we sing victory in Jesus. Well, remember, he's a counterfeit. Nothing gets me more upset than finding something that looks the same, but it's not. It's not the real McCoy, you know. So there's a victor's crown with leaves. This is the type of crown that he's wearing, okay, that will fade away. Remember, it's been given to him by God because he knows his days are short. And, you know, he lost on Calvary. That's why we celebrate what Christ did on the cross for us. And eventually, it will wither up and die out. But then you have the diadem crown that Christ wears that will go on forever and ever. Strength, and it's the real deal. And we will have crowns too. We already looked at that. Okay, well, there are five different crowns. We're not going to get into that today. But he has been given permission to come and to be a pretender. He's the great pretender. And a lot of people will right away think he's the greatest thing since whenever. And he went out to conquer and to be the conqueror. And it's interesting, some years ago, there was a political figure, and by the way, a crown could be representative of a political figure. There was a figure named Adolf Hitler, who back in 1938, before World War II broke out, there was a man named Chamberlain. He was the Prime Minister of England. Now listen to this. I read the book, The Roaring Lion, years ago. My pastor said, you got to read this about Chamberlain because he was a great leader. And this guy could sniff out. He had a good sense of knowing what people were like. And he says to Chamberlain, don't have anything to do with Adolf Hitler. He's a snake in the grass. Do you realize that Chamberlain went through a lot of harassment? People booed him in the House of Parliament. They did not like Winston Churchill. They thought Chamberlain was the great thing because Chamberlain bought it hook, line, and sinker with this evil politician named Adolf Hitler. And so it was then later on in 1939 when war broke out and Germany invaded Poland that people realized that when France and England went after, Germany, that, you know, Adolf Hitler was lying the whole time. Today people are lied to. They are deceived constantly. It's all about different, all kinds of things that, you know, and this deceiver will come across as being peaceful. But he wants control. He wants to be like God, like it says in Isaiah and Ezekiel. One day he was lifted up and he became proud. Satan or Lucifer did. He goes, I will be like the God Almighty. And he was also a protector of God's throne. I am sure Lucifer had fellowship with God, very close fellowship with God, until, you know, and he had. All kinds of stones, he was musically inclined. Why? Because he wanted to worship God. He was there with the angels. Remember in Job chapter 1, they rejoiced when they were created. And his job was to be like the choir leader. And so it's just like anybody else who gets filled up with pride. Well, it hasn't stopped. And over the ages, he has wanted God's throne. He wants to be like God. So he comes in as an imitator, and he comes in like something that's not real, okay? Today we see that a lot. Sometimes we go to the store and we buy something that is just not the real deal, but sometimes it's cheaper, and sometimes people will sell themselves out for a cheaper brand, but it's not the same thing. And the price that they have to pay is horrible. It's called apostasy. Eventually, they were at church at one time, and then they just stopped, you know, and they just never went back to church, you know. And I'm saying there are people today, that, God bless their hearts, they're online, they watch online, and they would love to be here every Sunday, but they can't, you know. It's sometimes it's just physically impossible. Or mentally impossible, but God bless them. Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25, and this is the New Living Translation paraphrase. At the end of their rule, when the sin is at its height, a fierce king, that's Satan, a fierce, a master of intrigue, will rise to power. in Daniel chapter 8, 23 to 25, and he will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause a shocking amount of destruction and succeed in every way he does. He will destroy powerful leaders and devastate holy people, that's Israel, and he will be master of deception, will become arrogant. He will destroy many without warning. He will even take on the prince of princes in battle, and that's Jesus Christ, thank God. But he will be broken through, not by human power. Jesus even prophesies in John chapter 5, verse 43, says, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not, but another will come in his own name, and him you will receive. So there's a lot of false Christ out there. 2 Thessalonians says this as well, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the second coming, and our gathering together with him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind and trouble, either by spirit or word or letter, as from us through the day of Christ. That's the tribulation, or the day of Jacob's trouble. The Thessalonian believers, remember we went through that, they thought with their persecution, they thought with the Caesar was the Antichrist. He had come, and let no one deceive you by any means. The day, that's the tribulation, will not come unless the falling away comes first. The man of sin, Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition. Perdition means damnation. Just like Judas was, Jesus said it was better if the man wasn't even born, because he sold out Christ, sold out himself, sold out his disciples. Who opposes and exalts himself above all, who's called himself God and is worshipped, who sits as God in the temple and showing himself that he is God. That's going to happen halfway through the tribulation. Do not not remember when I was still with you, I told you these things, Paul says, and now you know what is restraining. That's the Holy Spirit is restraining for the evil man to appear. And when the rapture happens, it's when you and I will be raptured, taken out. Thank God we won't have to go through this tribulation. That he may be revealed in his own time. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And only he now restrains will do until he is taken out of the way. And when then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume in his breath, in his mouth, and destroy the brightness of his coming at the second coming of Christ. So thank God there is scripture to back up scripture, to back up scripture upon this. So we have to dig. We have to do expository here. So, moving on here, let's see here. Hold on a minute here. Grab my notes here. And, okay, there we go. All right. Don't want to get ahead of myself here. Right? Okay, here we go. So we're going to now look at the second seal. And there's war. So the Antichrist will come for the first 3.5 years. He'll make peace. Okay, but there are still going to be conflicts going on during that 3.5 year period of time. Matthew 24, 6 and 7 says this. It says that you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Okay? So, there are wars going on right now. It seems like, you know, the axis, you have Iran, you have China, you have Russia. All these will be key players in end time prophecy. And God has allowed these kings to rise up to fulfill his promise. So don't be discouraged. I want to encourage you today. If you have loved ones that are over there right now, fighting for our country, just remember that there is a purpose, and God has kings risen up for that reason. So Matthew, we looked at 6 and 7, looking in Revelation chapter 6, verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, this is the Lamb opening the second, I heard the second living creature, another one, saying, come and see. So let's look at this. So there's going to be another horse indicating that the rider will come in, same kind of horse, but different kind of purpose here. Red, as we will see here, it's a fiery wet red went out. Red is a color of fire and blood and depicts war. Okay, so you see that there's red is representative more in a in different places of the world. Red is in the Bible is symbolizes blood. 75% of the world's flags contain the color red. Okay, not that that means anything here, but there, you know, over our history, only 200 years in world history has there been peace. Has there been peace? And so, also the dragon, Revelation chapter 12, is the color red. But be careful how you interpret these things, okay? Because sometimes people just go down the wrong trail. So, another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. So it was given permission. He comes in at first making peace, gets everybody's attention. They accept him, the great world leader. And of course, our technology is going by so fast. It's becoming more controlled. Like Europe is now talking about talking by the end of 2026 is that people will have a special wallet. Well, they'll have to carry IDs with them in order to buy or sell because things are getting so out of hand. That's just something that you hear about. Don't take that as the gospel truth, but there are so many things out there today that people are talking about the end times. And so there will be wars and rumors of wars. We've seen that throughout history. And of course, we have with our modern day weapons, there's enough nuclear heads out there to wipe out the whole earth. And the leaders know that, and the leaders don't want to do that. So please, remember, God is not going to allow the earth to be wiped out by nuclear warheads. And of course, we're going to be looking at a different horse with pestilence here in a minute. So there was that, and to take peace from the earth, and people should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. That idea here of a sword, this sword refers to a short stabbing sword that Romans would have. They had different types of swords. If it was a small sword that they could just whip out and stab you as you're conflicting with somebody in battle. Now listen to me. Listen good. What happened in Germany could happen here as well. Okay? People turn on one another. Okay? People are arrested because people who you trusted will turn you in. This could happen. Now, like I'm saying, when the rapture happens, there will still be people here. I'm sure there will be churches that will be filled. There will be pastors still preaching. And then what will happen is that you will have people that can still get saved in churches, okay, that we're hearing the gospel. Unless you get the mark of the beast, then it's too late. And that's a different subject altogether with the technology that they have today. But people will turn in with one another. They'll turn on one another, okay, because they're scared. They're fearful. You know, got to have that mark, or else you can't buy or sell. But, you know, there'll be also a group of people before the God's throne that will be beheaded. And those will be the people during the tribulation period that were saved and yet asked Christ into their heart. So there's that sword. So there'll be war. There'll be people turning on one another, killing one another. And then we see here, and also an anarchy. Either there's going to be, look, somebody asked me, what about America in the end times? I said, it'll be two things. One, there's going to be rising up a dictator, or two, there's going to be total anarchy. And I'm seeing that more and more with the younger people in colleges and universities. They're being swayed. I call them bubble people. Because all they do is they live in their little bubbles all the time. They don't get out. They don't research. They don't study. They don't pay attention. They don't tell the difference between right and wrong. They're just being led as lambs to the slaughter. And so we need to be praying for our college students and for the professors that are what they're being taught. You know, they become more and more gullible and more ignorant. You know, I'm not saying there's not smart people there in colleges, but when Kimberly and I taught back in Arkansas, there were passing students that could only read to an eighth grade level. My goodness, that was about 20 years ago. What are they doing now? Okay, so that should be a heads up. So we look here now, the third seal on earth, and he opened the third seal. And this is talking about famine. Of course, when wars, you're going to have famine. And, you know, they say about a third of the world's population lives on about a dollar a day. You need to pray for those in our missionaries. So, and they opened up the third seal, and I heard the third living creature saying this, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. Black in the Bible represents famine, okay? Or black, as somebody put it, represents lack, okay? Not having enough. I know it's bad enough if you can't get something to eat, if everything's closed, if you're driving at night and all the restaurants are closed and you're hungry. You know, I've never been through a famine time. I fasted, I'm sure we fasted, but to do without food is something else. So, goes on here, it says, a black horse, and he who sat on had a pair of scales in his hand, and that's representative of weighing. Back in the day, they would weigh things. You would put your silver or whatever precious metal that you had and also weigh it with whatever you were going to buy. And if it tipped the right way, then you could buy it. We're looking at this today with famine. It would be hyperinflation. In other words, what your dollar could buy with now, Larry Burkett, a good expositor many years ago on Focus on the Family. He died of cancer years ago, but he said this back in the late 90s. He said, what's going to happen is you have a dollar and it's not going to buy what you want. You're going to have to buy it with $12. And he says, that's what's going to happen to this country, hyperinflation. It's happened all around the world. It happened in Germany, happened in different places. So, Matthew chapter 24, verse 7 says this, that nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. So there will be this happening. Going on here, it says, and I heard a voice in the midst of four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. Now, a denarius was a Roman silver coin. And so it could buy that. And people would, of course, use wheat to make bread and certain staples. You would need that, okay, for wheat. And then three quarts of barley for denarius. And barley is a cheap, like, animal food, okay? So what would happen, people would end up eating animal food, okay? When you get so desperate, it's just like the prodigal. He went out there, the prodigal son, you know, there was famine in the land, and he ended up eating pig's food because he had to survive. You know, his stomach, your stomach, growls. Your stomach fights, doesn't it, some days, you know? It gives you, it lets itself be known. But you have this, and then, of course, and do not harm the oil, which was used for cooking. That's why it says this. And then also the wine, which was a purification for water. So you had to eat, you had to cook, and you needed to drink. That's why wine was used back in the Old and New Testament. That's why it would take days for them to get drunk, people would. But then wine was a purification. There was nothing wrong with it. It's just like anything else. It's how you use it. And so with that being said, so that was the third seal. And just before I get into the fourth seal, just think about the ecology. Just think about with wars and so on and so forth, and you know, food gets taken away. My pastor was in the very first MASH unit in Korea, and he said that people were starving left and right, and soldiers were handing out their candy bars, which was quick energy, you know. And he said it was, war is the worst thing. He said that people were hungry, and you always, your heart went out to the kids first, you know, because they were coming up, you know. And so then we go on to the fourth seal, and that's the widespread death on Earth. You know, there's going to be about a quarter of the Earth's population is going to die. Okay, again, this is God's judgment. People have had a time to repent. But they don't want to do the about face in their heart. They like the way things are. They like to be in control of their own lives. They want to do their own thing. But, you know, the Lamb of God is there. And remember, God always has a way of salvation for people if they just repent and return to God. So when he opened the fourth seal, and the voice from the fourth living creature said, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And this pale is where we get our word chlorophyll. You know, they put that on your mouth to help you to go to sleep when you're, you know, under surgery and so on and so forth. It's also, it's a palish green in color. So it has the idea of death, of decay too, the pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was death, and Hades followed him. So there was death, and there was hell in the grave. When you think about it, when people die without Jesus Christ, it's a horrible thing. There's no more second chances. Like we had talked about a few weeks ago in Philippians chapter 2, and every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Doesn't mean everybody who's there doing it accepted Christ as their Savior. There's going to be a sea of humanity. Jesus said that narrow is the way. There aren't many people who are going to be saved, but throughout all time, everybody in heaven, on earth, and below earth, which I believe is hell too, where hell is located, is going to have to bow their knee to Jesus Christ as Lord. So, death and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over the fourth of the earth to kill with the sword. And there was hunger and death by beasts of the earth. And you think, well, what about the beasts of the earth? Well, there was something called the bubonic plague back in Europe that was carried by rats. And how these rats got into the disease was by fleas that was brought over by India and through ships, and eventually it made its way to Europe. And a quarter of the people in Europe died because of this bubonic plague. They originally thought, well, you know, we don't want to kill the rats. That would cause problems, but you had people dying every day. And so that's what happened in Europe. And that's what happens when people turn away from God. And let me tell you, brethren, that's, you know, on this rainy day, the 15th of March, 2026, you know, that's what happens when people turn away from God. Why is our country in the way it is right now, falling apart? Because people turn their backs on God. It's very simple. They need the Lord. He is the open door. So let me wrap this up. So you had four seals that have been opened. So let me give you some encouragement. Let me give you four areas to encourage with you this morning as you go home. As you know, this is going to happen. And maybe some people today, many people who go to church today will go through the tribulation. And so number one It's motivation. Communicate the gospel of Christ with every means possible in our generation. You know, there's so many people have asked me, what do you think about the tribulation? Do you think we're even going through the tribulation now? No, we're not. You know, number two, evaluation. Evaluate yourself. Confirm the sincerity of my faith with Christ alone. Evaluate yourself with yourself, with your husband, with your children, with your friends, with your church members. You know, say, am I real? Am I just faking it? Am I putting myself on? You know, and then there's number three, anticipation. We will be taken to meet the Lord in the skies and be with him in the air. Thank God for that. We have encouraged you here today. Lord is coming back. He is. You know, even if we eventually die off one by one and our children get old and they have children, you know, at least we planted the seed. Let God water as it is today and increase in our hearts. Number four, exaltation. Christ, the glory of his victory and his majesty and his kingdom and power, his new creation, causes us to want to honor and exalt Christ, our Redeemer, and coming of our King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I know it's a lot of words right there. When we worship him, it should be an exaltation. I'm not asking you to have an aurora or a little ring around, you know, top of your head. I'm just saying, just live it. Let people know that Christ loves you. You belong to him. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. You've been redeemed. You've been bought with a price. You are his. You cannot lose it. Okay? Sometimes you feel like it, but that's normal. If we confess our sins, he's just and able to forgive us of our sins because we're sinners. But then let me leave you with this, and I'm going to close with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, we will serve the living and true God and wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The wrath is what? The four seals. And we'll look into more of this, you know, with the trumpets and the bowls and so on and so forth. Why is God, and this is, I'm going to close with this, why does God allow this to happen? For people to repent. This is our mercy judgment. It's never too late. As long as you don't get that seal, as long as you don't give it, you've been bought and sold down the stream with the world and Satan and what he does. God wants us to repent. And you know, and I know it troubles you, and I know it upsets you. You know, people that aren't saved. You might have children or grandchildren thinking, Lord, I just pray they get saved. Just remember, just do the best you can, and God will be with us. And so I am done. I think this is all the Lord wants me to say today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your word. Help us continue to share it. Help us keep mind, be praying without ceasing. Help us to get our rest. Rest in you. Give us the peace that passeth all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.